Hi, everybody, and welcome to Politicus Radio. I am your host,
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Politicus Radio. I am your host, Jason Eastley. And on tonight's show, George and Sarah will be discussing the insanity that has gripped the Republican Party along with me. It's going to be one humdinger of a show. We got Herman Cain, we got Michelle Bachmann, we got Rick Perry, we got why does nobody love Mitt Romney? And I'm going to ask my two co-hosts who they think is going to win. So without further ado, this is the first episode of Politicus Radio. And I'd like to bring in my former co-host from 4 years ago, who's now back again, George.
Hello.
Hi, George.
Hey, Jason, how are you?
Oh, good. How are you? You know, this feels so right.
I'm sorry?
This feels so right, being back on the air together.
Oh, yeah. It's like we just putting on a pair of old shoes, you know?
Yeah. I mean, be sure to tell me if you can't hear me, okay? I'm doing a little bit of a different setup here, so if there's any audio trouble, and I will adjust on the fly.
Okay, yeah. It's going a little bit in and out and everything, so I just have my cell phone to rely on. But so far, so good.
Okay, if I'm going in and out, just hang on 1 second, my man.
There we go. How's that?
Oh, much better.
Okay. So, George, we're back on the air. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself, because this is a whole new audience in a whole new place.
Oh, well, hello, brand new audience. Jason and I were colleagues on 411mania.com for quite a few years. Ever since Jason went off to start off Politicus USA, I stayed with 411, retired as a columnist in 2010, and I'm currently in the news hosting department for the movies and TV zones, the music zone, the wrestling zone, and the MMA zone. So any Monday, Thursday, or Saturday morning, you'll see me. You'll see my posts like right around there. So, it was a while that we were doing the original Blog Talk Radio show.
It was a year.
It was about a year. Yeah.
It was a year, a magical year that we'll never forget.
It was a magical year, but at the same time, the country has been doing a very good job providing us with material.
And to get to that material, let me bring in the third member of our team. Everybody knows her. Everybody loves her. So why we won't keep you waiting any longer. Here's Sarah Jones, everybody.
Hey,
hi,
everybody.
Sarah.
How are you? Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you tonight?
Good. Nice to meet you, George.
Nice to meet you too, Sarah. I'm a fan of your columns.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, Jason announces that everyone loves me. I don't think he reads all the mail we get, apparently, but thank you.
Okay, guys. Now that we've all kissed and introduced, let's get down to what's going on in the world of politics. Okay. I'm gonna start with a brief question. Could it possibly be that the 2012 version of the Republican candidates for president is worse than the 2008 version of the Republican candidates for president? I'll start with Sarah, ladies first.
I would have to say yes to that question, because at least in 2008 they had John McCain, who, while I wouldn't have voted for him, can be a reasonable person at times, isn't crazy in the way that most of these candidates are. And Sarah Palin, you know, well, the fact that he was as old as he is when he was running, and that Sarah Palin was his vice president, makes it very scary, especially if we've learned so much about her since the 2008 campaign, that makes that even more frightening. But when you look at the lineup, it's like they're doing Sarah Palin this time around, but as the front runner. So, yeah, I'd have to say 2012, the clown show is on.
George, you covered 2008 with me. What do you think of 2012?
This is just, it's beyond bizarre. It really is, because, like Sarah said, back in 2008, you know, like, yes, we had John McCain. Unfortunately, we did not have the 2000 version of John McCain, who I would have considered voting for that John McCain. I would have liked to have seen that John McCain as president. Unfortunately, we got 2008 John McCain, who was a mere shadow of his former self, unfortunately. But at the same time, there was some semblance of someone who I could see as a leader. This time around, I don't see that at all. I don't see that in anyone. They're basically just – and a big reason why is because of the rise of the Tea Party. That, you know, it was because of Obama's election that the Tea Party went into existence. So now all of a sudden you have this reaction to Obama getting elected, and it's really kind of putting the spotlight on the sort of sensibilities that so many people have, and it's scary. It's more than just, you know, like a, you know, like a clown show. I mean, it is just full-on scary because there are so many people out there that are sharing these sort of views as these people. So, you know, these are, you know, like whoever winds up winning in this very odd race is not, they're not going to be, you know, they're not going to be bowled over by Obama. They're going to give him a fight. And that's, you know, that's, that in itself is just like a little worrisome.
So, Sarah, would you agree that this is a scary kind of field?
Yeah, I have to agree. It's when he said that, I was thinking, you know, this is like that TV show. This is the American Horror Show, because I'm laughing because I can't do anything but laugh. If I don't laugh, I might cry. So it is terrifying. It's terrifying that when you look at these polls that, you know, the polls can be so close between Newt Gingrich and President Obama, between even Mitt Romney and President Obama, Herman Cain and President Obama. It just floors me. You know, this last debate that they had, I wanted to retitle that the geopolitical clowns or something. It was just like, here they are going on about, they're beating the same drum, weapons of mass destruction. You know, if you don't vote for me, Iran's going to nuke you. It's just, and the people were applauding for that, and it absolutely floors me. It really does. And they don't have any ideas for the economy. Everything is a retread of the same failed ideas, things we've already tried that haven't worked. And the fact that these people are still cheering for them blows my mind. But I think that George is absolutely correct. I think I talk about epistemic closure all the time, and I think that's what we're seeing. You know, the Tea Party merged together with the Sarah Palin voters, the Fox News viewers, all of those people coming together, and they're just really easily manipulated, obviously, and that's very sad to say. And I'm not saying that someone can't be a Republican. You know, that's not the point. I'm talking about this very far-right faction that's sort of taken over the Republican Party. And they seem to be just really easily led. I mean, look at, you know, like last week I said, here you go, Steve Schmidt's pushing Newt Gingrich, so he's going to be the next front runner. And the next thing you know, the polls are all showing that, and they're pushing him on Fox News. It's every candidate that they tell those folks to like, they end up liking. Fox News, we report, you decide. Yeah, right. You know, we tell you who to like. That's just crazy.
Would you both lay this at the feet, the genesis of this shift into a mix of ignorance and insanity? Would you really lay this at the feet of Sarah Palin? Would that be the moment when she jumped onto the scene that something really shifted and the right?
There's definitely something there, because she was basically, you know, like, you know, now if you take a look at what is on the stage right now at all these podiums, and then Sarah Palin decides that she doesn't want to be a part of that, the fact that she doesn't want to be a part of that group, that says something really, really, really serious about that group, because she's busy just doing her own thing. She basically just, you know, she's basically that person who ordered, you know, like the most amount of drinks and then left everyone with a check. That's basically what she's wound up doing. She started the whole fire of getting every, you know, this whole common man kind of thing, you know, like, you know, just to feed off of the whole, like, Joe the Plumber thing from 2008. You know, she started that whole sort of feeling. And then bolted as soon as it got just a little too out of hand.
So, Sarah, would you add something to this? How do you feel about this? You're a Sarah Palin expert.
I agree that she definitely, you know, she started this in the rallies when she was really tossing out. She plays to the white supremacist part of the far right, and they love her, and that's been proven, you know, in polls. And I don't think she left because she thought less of what's happening to the Republican Party, or thought it was getting out of control. I mean, after she had her blood libel moment, and her polls really tanked then, and I think the Republican Party was hoping that they could get control of the party back from the Tea Party, and they thought if they could just get rid of Sarah Palin, they could accomplish that. And they have a lot of dirt on her, and I won't get into all of that, but it's not pretty. And, you know, she has some issues that she wouldn't want to have come out. But I still think that it's possible that she could enter into the scene again. I mean, when you look at the options here, and everyone's sort of being tried on and then discarded in the Republican Party. And I think that if she saw an opening where, you know, that would happen after all of these debates, when she wouldn't have to be vetted, because that's sort of her modus operandi. It's what happened in 2008, but it's also how she ran for governor, because everyone was so disgusted with the previous governor, and they wanted change. And so they saw this fresh-faced person come on the scene, and no one looked into her history of extreme abuse of power, which led to, you know, an attempt to recall her. Or they didn't actually go through with the recall, but they were threatening with the recall. And so, you know, they didn't look into that. And now, so she can't run if she's going to be vetted. But I really wouldn't be surprised if she stepped back in when all these other candidates are knocked down. I mean, I hope that doesn't happen. For the country's sake, because of really all of these people are, except for John Huntsman and maybe Mitt Romney, these people are surreal in their ignorance. But none of them stir up hate the way that she did. You know, Gabby Gifford's husband just published a book, and he said they were assuming that Sarah Palin would call them, you know, to offer her thoughts and well wishes, and she never did. And he was willing to forgive her, but he wanted to say to her, you aren't responsible for this, but you are irresponsible with your rhetoric. And the fact that she didn't call him, I think, kind of says everything. So I'm hoping she doesn't step into the race, but brace yourselves, people. You thought it couldn't get any lower? You don't know. Apparently, you can't bet low enough with this party right now.
So if we can move on. Speaking of how low this party's gone, the new Fox News poll came out at 6 p.m. I know. I can hear both of your sets of eyes rolling right now as I said the news words Fox News poll, but I'll make it quick, painless, and short. The serial adulterer has taken the lead over the Mormon and the serial sexual harasser.
that's
the scoreboard.
What a win.
The scoreboard.
What a win.
Adultery up, sexual harassment down, Mormon flatlining is staying the same.
I guess
it's like a new
Tom
Kramer show, Mad Morals. You know?
Oh, my God. And the
there's some, you know, you got to leave it to Fox News to ask the questions that really matter when they do this polling. They asked a couple of questions. I want to run these numbers by you just so you can see where we are. Who is... They asked Republicans, who is the most likable candidate? Mitt Romney, 26%. He's your clubhouse leader. Mormon, number one slot. Sexual harasser, 25%. Republicans love sexual harassment. Second most popular candidate. Then nobody else. Everybody else is at 10% or less. Although I should jump back. In third place, don't know. Don't know is more popular than Rick Perry, Newt Gingrich, Michelle Bachmann, Ron Paul, John Huntsman, Rick Santorum, and someone else. So don't know.
Oh, someone
might
else.
Be the contender coming up on the outside corner. Who is the
for
least
sure.
likable? Who's the least likable?
I'm getting a flashback to Brewster's Millions.
Who perhaps is our least likable Republican? George, you want to take a guess at who's the least favorite Republican?
The least favorite Republican?
Yeah.
Considering the way that the absolute disregard that Fox News has for Ron Paul, I'm going to say Ron Paul.
Sarah?
I'm going to have to agree with George on that because, you know, whatever Fox tells the people to believe is what they believe, and they do not like Ron Paul.
Wow, you guys are good. Ron Paul is the least popular Republican, but it is closer than you might think. Only 15% of Republicans thought he was least likable. Michelle Bachmann, 12%. Crazy eyes, doesn't go over popularity. 12% of the Republican Party doesn't dig sexual harassment. They also thought Herb McCain was the least likable. And if we go down a little bit more, don't know was actually the leader. 23%. Don't know
hey,
is
oh
highly unpopular.
Hey, I think you just came up with their slogan for 2012. We don't know.
Yeah.
How's that?
No.
It's good.
Okay, I got one more for you guys. This one will start with Sarah. Sarah, I don't know if you peeked at the poll or not, but which Republican candidate would Republicans most trust with a nuclear weapon?
Well, I'm going to have to go with the two who want to bomb Iran. That would be Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney. It's a Beach
you
Boys
must
show.
Have. Those are two really good guesses. George?
Yeah.
Who would they most trust with a nuclear weapon? All right. Again, you know, like this is a Fox News poll, correct? I just want to make sure because I have to think in that sort of terms. It's not who would I trust. It's who would. Who would lead in a Fox News poll? I would say Gingrich.
You guys must have read the poll because you're both really good. Gingrich is number one at 30%. The Mormon is next at 17%. And then Herman Cain. It's Herman Cain and Ron Paul at 7%.
Oh, man.
I must admit, though, Newt Gingrich does triumph over Don't Know, 30% to 23%. But Don't Know needs to beef up those national security credentials if the Don't Know is really good.
I was actually going to pick Don't Know as my answer, but, you know.
Okay, now here is the really difficult one of the bunch. This is George's turn this time.
Okay.
What Republican candidate would Republicans least trust with a nuclear weapon? George, then Sarah. Least?
Least trust with a nuclear weapon.
Yes.
I would go with... I would go with John Huntsman.
Okay. Sarah?
Yeah.
Man, George, we're like on the same wavelength. I was going to say that too, but I'm not sure. I'm thinking that a lot of Fox viewers don't even know who John Huntsman is. But if they do know who he is, I would say they would pick him. But if they don't even know who he is, since they don't talk about him over there, because he's sane, they're so crazy. I want to say Ron Paul, but I don't know. I'm gonna go wild. I'm gonna pick Cain.
The Cain would be a really good guess. You both honestly missed this one. I think you did it just to make us all feel better. Ron Paul. They would least trust the man who would not bomb another country with a nuclear weapon.
I said that based on that actually kind of makes sense.
You know, like that makes sense in a way because he's been so vocal about not dealing with other countries.
And obviously, if you have the bomb, you have to want to use it.
Right. Well, they don't. It wasn't even an option for them not to use the bomb.
Yeah.
You know, the question is, who do you want to press that red button? Who do you think is going to press the red button? That's really what they're asking. So the answer is obvious because Ron Paul's the one who wouldn't. So they least trust him with it. Wow.
That's Republican logic. Ron Paul was number one at 15%. Michelle Bachmann at 12%. Tied with sexual harassment at 12%.
I was thinking of Bachmann too.
That's actually within the margin of error. So you could say this is all a tie the whole way down to Rick Perry at 10%. Your actual winner, though, is Don't Know. These Republicans do not want Don't Know to have a nuclear weapon. Don't Know led Ron Paul 23-15. So we can see that Don't Know might be strong on domestic, but he or she is weak on foreign policy.
But, you know, that makes them a typical Republican, really, in reality. But we're not doing reality. This is a Fox News poll. Okay.
Yeah, this is those were the really fun questions. And these are questions you'll really only find in a Fox News poll.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't hear the Democrats calling up and asking, you know, who do you want to bomb first or... you know, it just doesn't happen. It's not part of our.
It's like, who do you want to bomb first?
Yeah,
it's gonna
exactly.
Happen.
I mean, we have to fight someone, but it can't be Obama fighting them. Because Obama wins, so we can't have that. We have to have a nice, long, drawn-out war where a lot of people die and, you know, democracy isn't actually established, and we can hold up our mission accomplished signs, because this is really all about the signs and the slogans with Republicans.
As soon as this show is over.
But that's kind of what makes me think that I don't think they want any of these guys. So I think they want Obama to win again just so that they can go ahead and bring out all the vitriol and all the hatred and everything and basically give themselves 4 more years of great ratings.
Oh, so true, George. I mean, Fox News, their ratings went up as soon as Obama got elected. They love this. This is great for them. Rush Limbaugh, same thing.
And,
I mean,
you know, like, their way of thinking is, it's like, who wants to be the, you know, the mouthpiece for the man? You know, they already did that. You know, now they're riding a whole other wave right now, and they're loving this.
And
okay, guys.
Keep going.
I'm still here.
I was only going to say.
I remember when I used to host the show.
See, it's just like the old days, Jason.
It really is. But go on, Sarah. I just have one more interesting. I was skimming through this poll, and I found one more interesting nugget that should delight you to.
You should go for it.
Oh, should I? Oh, thank you. Thank you for the permission.
Yeah, you're so welcome.
Okay.
I know.
Okay.
That's what I do.
So let's just bring this. This is a good one, guys. I didn't notice this my first 3 times looking at this thing, probably because my eyes glazed over after looking at the initial results. But they have a hypothetical matchup here. If Bill Clinton ran against George W. Bush for a third term, who would you vote for?
Who would I vote for? Oh, no.
That's the poll question.
The results
might be somewhat surprising.
I think the poll, based on the poll, I think Bush would wind up winning it, because as soon as Obama took office, all the rallies and everything kept on saying, we need a Christian man in the White House. So I think that they're basically just going to wipe their memories clean of the past the 8 years that they had him and elect him in again.
Okay, Sarah?
And let's not forget that by Christian, they mean someone who will go bomb people.
Because that's what the Christian people do.
Exactly. You're not a Christian unless you're going to go bomb the Muslims.
Bubba versus W.
I know, I'm with you, but, you know, I'm torn because of the way they've tried to distance themselves from Bush as if they didn't support what he was doing, when in fact they supported him, you know, all the way with his sort of a lot of the bad things that he did. And then as soon as the election started up, they pretended like, you know, they didn't like him. And they still, you know how they're trying to paint Obama as Bush? So I don't know. I mean, I think that, you got to think, the Fox viewer wants to be viewed as smart, and they know their talking points really well. So I don't know. I'm going to go with Clinton.
Okay, Bill Clinton would beat George W. Bush for a third term, 58-34.
Wow. Oh, my God. That's so pathetic. You know why? They're pretending like they're independents. That's what they tell them that they are.
Pretending like they're independents.
Oh, my God. No, I mean, it's true. They I meet so many people who watch Fox News, and they tell me they're an independent, and they make up their own mind. But they tell me everything Fox told them to think. So, of course, they're not independent. they wouldn't vote for Bill Clinton. Okay, go ahead.
This was a fun little question I came up with that I thought you guys would really enjoy. In a Mexican standoff of crazy, who wins, Kane, Bachman, or Perry?
Ooh.
Oh, my gosh. George?
Mexican standoff? Well, you know, like, Perry's got his own hunting, area, so.
Three enter, one leave. Who survives?
Wow.
Now, we are just talking about voting, right? We're not talking about actually shooting, people.
No, it's just a Mexican standoff of insanity. They're having, an insanity dance-off.
An insanity dance-off, Bachman would dance off with that kind of prize.
You think Bachman easily wins the crazy prize?
The crazy prize? Absolutely.
Okay. Sarah?
Well, I have to agree. I mean, I just want to clarify that there's a lot of different kinds of crazy. We got Kane, who lives, he makes up his own reality. He lives in denial. Harry, he's crazy because he's really stupid. But Bachman, you can't make up that kind of crazy. That woman is just crazy.
Yeah. She was crazy before crazy was cool because she was on Hardball in 2008 talking about doing McCarthyism against Democratic senators and representatives like that. You just that's basically you're branding crazy right there. You're putting the little TM right there and just walking away with it.
So, but what really would center for me, though, was Bachman's claim of a worldwide nuclear war against Israel in the last debate.
Mm-hmm.
The lower she goes in the polls, the crazier she gets.
Well, because she's still, remember that she went to that Christian law school. And so a lot of times people think that, I do believe she's crazy, but she actually, the problem is that she believes the things she's saying are true because she was taught that, this is a Christian nation and we have to defend Israel because of the end times and all of that. So she believes all of that. And so when she says this stuff, I don't think she even realizes how it sounds to the average person. And it's like these people never step out of this little bubble they live in. They have no idea. I mean, what did she say? In the last debate about the hostilities of the Arab Spring, Obama was sitting on his hands and this has given rise to radical elements, but she would come in there and, and be strong and take care of this stuff. It's like, seriously, do you not even know what just happened? She's just, who knows where she's been? Maybe she's on that medication.
So, do you guys want to talk about Herman Cain for a minute?
Oh, my God. Sure.
We have a lot of different levels here on Herman Cain. We have the sexual harassment, which really isn't a joking matter. He honestly probably, if the Republicans didn't have so much distaste for voting for Mitt Romney, he would probably have been gone long ago. Then there's the level of Herm not being able to answer a question about Libya the other day in front of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel editors and writers. Has there ever been a candidate, and I'm maybe going to include Sarah Palin in this, as unprepared and scandal-ridden, who has managed to stay up there this long as Herman Cain has?
I can't even think.
George, go ahead. Go ahead,
George. I'm just thinking of, just thinking of the... It's really wild. Just this is a perfect storm of scandal. Like the way that the way that he has handled himself in the on the media and everything, and the way that you know, with all, you know, with the sexual harassment scandals and everything coming, you know, coming to him. It's, but at the same time, in a weird way, he's basically like working it to his advantage by saying the mainstream media is out to get me. And so basically, like, if you come off now, it's done like a complete 180 from the times of Kennedy and Nixon. Because, like, if you're bad on television, then you're looked at as, like, the underdog and someone who should be championed because the mainstream media is out to get you, you know, the gotcha left-wing media. But, you know, and that's the thing, that's what really scares me about, you know, like, about Kane, because he's basically taking his weaknesses and turning them into strengths in a way, which is really odd to see how it, you know, how this whole thing plays out.
Sarah?
So that's such a good point, George. I see him, he's really doing the Sarah Palin playbook where, you know, she got busted reading her three ideas for America off of her hand, and then she turned that into a little gimmick, which is some kind of jab at the media. And she was really able to turn every negative thing that the media would report about her, or actually factual thing that they reported about her, into this kind of victimization thing, which really does, that appeals to the right, and it appeals to the far-right Christians. And I shouldn't really call them Christians, because I don't believe that they are actual Christians, but that's how they self-identify. So I can't think of a candidate more unprepared than, I mean, he makes Sarah Palin, the other day I was thinking, my gosh, I mean, he makes Sarah Palin look somewhat coherent, and that's really frightening, because that interview that you're talking about was jaw-dropping. It was just jaw-dropping. There are these huge moments of silence where he doesn't even know, you know, he keeps saying, Libya, that's what you're asking me about, as if, you know, where have you been? I mean, I bet I could go down the street and find a homeless person that, without access to TV or radio, who knows more about Libya. It was just really strange. Really strange.
Okay, guys.
And then
it was bizarre. You could literally see him breaking out in a sweat on the video, which you can find on politicasusa.com. You can literally see him breaking out in a sweat at one point and reaching for his water bottle to take a drink as he composes himself. It's that much of a collapse. And I mean,
yeah,
the media called
it
a stumble, a bobble. I mean, it's more than a stumble or a bobble. It was a complete meltdown.
He had no idea what they were asking him. You know, he just didn't know.
No, he had no clue. I mean, but his campaign said he was sleepy.
But at, you know, and at the same time, though, that's, you know, that's a huge thing, because now all of a sudden he's looked at as the common man, you know, like, and then everyone's saying, like, well, the common man doesn't know anything about Libya either.
Right, that's the whole, we should elect the dumbest person we can find so we can all relate to that person. Super,
right.
That
know,
is a great plan.
It goes,
you know?
Right back to the, I'll have a beer with them, you know,
yeah,
kind of attitude.
Okay, guys,
it's
I got two more questions for you to wrap up this program. Should Obama really be worried about any of these Republicans running for president? I'll start with Sarah this time.
Well, I don't know what, if you're asking me, in a sane world, should he be worried? No. In this world, although I have noticed that the media, the mainstream media, has actually started to fact check some of the Republicans in a way that I haven't seen for a long time. And so I don't think it's going to be quite the same game as it was, or it has been for a while. But there's no telling. I mean, unfortunately, if the economy doesn't improve, and it doesn't look like the Republicans are going to let that happen. So, yeah, I mean, he's vulnerable in that sense. To whom? No one knows. Or is it, what's the name of the candidate? We don't know. Or somebody else? That person.
Yes.
He's vulnerable to that person. Not any of these specific candidates. But, I mean, I know Romney's polling pretty close to him in some polls right now. But, you know, nobody's had a chance to vet Romney yet. And there's that whole dog thing. You know, I don't think Americans are going to go for the dog abuser.
So, George?
I actually think that he should be worried, because One thing that we know about the Republican Party and everything is like when they have one set issue, they stick to it and just constantly like hammer it into everyone's skull. So once they decide who is going to be the candidate to run against Obama, they're going to put that entire Republican machine behind that person, because this is what, you know, this is all coming down to what Mitch McConnell said in public on television. Said that, you know, that they are focusing on making Obama a one-term president. Not, we're going to fix the economy, not we're going to put the people back to work, not we're going to put this country back on the right track. No, it's all about getting rid of Obama. So because of that, I think Obama should be worried. And this is basically what happens when you spend so much of your first term trying to compromise with people that don't want anything to do with you. So I think that he should be worried. I think that he should go back to the candidate Obama that everyone believed in and remind people that that person is still around and that person is going to do whatever is necessary to make sure that he gets that second term and puts, you know, and starts getting the country back in order. So, I think he should be worried, and I think he should be prepared for whatever is going to be coming against him, because he's gonna get it from all sides, so he's got to be ready for it.
Yeah, I think I'll be honest. I think that's a little bit of an unfair question right now. I really don't think we can tell until the Obama campaign gets ramped up, because right now these Republicans are running unopposed, and it's easy to pull Obama's numbers down with a daily negative campaign. I think things are going to shift somewhat when the president starts campaigning. You're going to have a president with $1 billion and the best campaign network out there. So it's going to shift a bit, but I think it's going to be tighter than 2008 would be my guess right now.
It's definitely going to be tighter because you have a lot of people that are less inspired by Obama to do this, because they are looking at him as someone who has basically just been doing nothing but compromise after compromise, and basically just kind of put all of the hope and change that they were really hoping for on the shelf, and just trying to basically they don't realize that, you know, like in the first few rounds of a fight, you have to kind of feel out your opponent before you can start, you know, hitting them with the big haymakers. And
yeah, that's
what he's doing right now. Unfortunately,
yeah.
You know, like the other guy is just busy hitting, you know, kneeing him in the groin, you know, while the ref's back is turned.
Yeah. Okay. Let me go to my very last. This ties into my last question. If you were to grade Obama, we'll start with Sarah. How would you think he's done so far on like a A to F scale?
A to F? Seriously?
Yeah.
You want me to? Oh, this is not. Can I do an essay? I don't like these one letter things.
You can write an essay, and I will give you a letter grade at the end. Okay.
Yeah, you will. Shoot. Well,
give us the pros and cons in your essay.
If I'm honest, I'm going to be accused of being an Obama cheerleader. But
there's none of that here. There's none of that here.
I need to be honest. Well, I mean, is this based on what I wanted from him, or in general how I think the public perceives him?
In general, how you think he's done.
I'm going to give him a B+, and the reason he's not getting an A in my classroom is because I think he had some problems with the way he got his messages out, and, you know, when he first took office, there's a lot of, like, shuffling around and hiring new people, and I don't think that they did a very good job with messaging. I don't think that he made his intentions clear to the American people, and I think that he overestimates our intelligence often and doesn't explain exactly what's going on. But I've seen a huge shift in that since especially since the jobs bill started, and I do see him improving in that area. But I've been very happy with him. He's what I wanted in a president. He's a rational person. He's a good strategist. Would I like to see him punch the GOP back every once in a while? Of course I would. But I think, particularly as the first African-American president, I really don't think that I don't think he can do some of the things that that we would like to see him do in the same way that someone else could. And it's not fair, but that's the way it works when you're doing sort of big change like that. So that's my grade, B+.
Okay, George? I would give him just a tiny little bit lower. I give him a B because of basically just, he went in with the whole campaign and everything. Like, he went in with so much behind him, so much basically his own set of political capital. And as soon as he got in office, he immediately just started, just playing the political game, which was something that people, they were really getting turned off, from him. And basically, in a sense, kind of playing into the Republicans' hands by doing that. Because as soon as his momentum slowed down, they went right in for the jugular and proceeded to do the whole shellacking, as he himself called it, in 2010. But one thing that really kind of saved him, in a sense, is the Republican Party, because by constantly putting the spotlight on them, and this is what, basically going back to what Sarah was talking about, how great of a strategist he is, he basically let the Republicans have the spotlight, and we got to see everything that they intend to do, and basically make them look like the bad guys, in a sense. Because, he basically just kind of showed the world, hey, this is what they want. This is what they want to do. And just like what we've seen from the most recent state elections, the people are already starting to realize, hey, that's not what we're all about here. We don't want that taken away from us. We don't want, these rights taken away from us. And Obama's basically just kind of putting the spotlight on them by saying, look, this is what they want to do. You really want them in office? So he's basically kind of playing the Republicans against themselves, which is a lot of fun to watch, actually. the way that he's doing it. So I would say that. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
Sarah.
Oh, so basically, just to wrap it up and everything, I would say definitely, I would give him a B, and I do think that there is room for improvement, and I think that once they realize that, hey, he's going to be a two-term president, that's when we'll finally start to get the change that we have been waiting for.
Yeah. Okay. One last question. We have 2.5 minutes, so you can keep it a little short. Have you guys seen a change within, I'd say the past 6 or 8 months in Obama's style and presentation? Do you think he's finally gotten his footing as a president?
I think so.
I do, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was a little too short. We still have 2 minutes. That was a little too short. You guys have been going all evening, and you give me 4 words each.
I'll say what I was going to say. I think George was talking about the way he fights, and he's always fought that way, and people think he's not doing anything, but he's the master at setting people up to defeat themselves. That's what he's done with the GOP, and they've fallen for it hook, line, and sinker. So,
does anyone in this conversation think Barack Obama doesn't win a second term?
That he won't win a second term?
Does anyone here think he won't?
Well, I'm scared that he won't. I mean, geez.
George.
I think he's going to take it.
Yeah, I think he's going to win the second term as well. I think as soon as people see these Republican nominees are so weak, the campaign is going to change in the fall. Okay, we are in the last final minute of our program. I would like to thank both George, who you can read at 411 Mania, 3 days a week in the morning, as he nicely told us when the show started, and Sarah, who you can read daily, sometimes hourly, at politicususa.com. She is a bright, shining light and a star of our little website. For George and Sarah, I am Jason Easley saying thank you for listening, and we will see you next week before Thanksgiving. Bye-bye, everybody.